So if you'll find your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Acts and chapter number 20. And that simply is the title, I Shall Not Be Moved. And there's a lot of folk moving today. We were just talking about a while ago a little bit. And it seems like that the longer I live, that it seems as though that folks are moving. Not necessarily location, but they're moving their direction. They're changing some of the things that they used to hold on to. And so in Acts chapter number 20, I'll let you be seated tonight. But if you'll begin reading with me in verse number 17. And just to kind of bring you up to where we're at, the Apostle Paul here is... has called for the elders of the church of Ephesus, and he is getting ready to address them and give them his final farewell. He is going to be leaving, and they will not see him again. Paul has spent about 3 years at the church of Ephesus, and they've become very close. They become very knitted together, and Paul is now going to leave them, and he tells them in this chapter that you'll not see my face again. And so begin reading in verse number 17. By the way, he's already performed one miracle there in chapter number 20, verse number 9. Eutychus, here's a certain young man who he didn't get his afternoon nap, and Paul was long preaching, it says in verse number 9, and this man Eutychus fell out of the window and killed himself, and I guess broke his neck. And Paul went down, verse number 10, and embraced him and said, trouble not yourselves, his life is within him. And he took him up, verse 11, and he resurrected him. And there they said he ate bread and talked a long while till the break of day, so he departed. So here, can you imagine? Boy, that'd wake everybody up, wouldn't it? Amen? I mean, praise God, somebody fall out of the window and get their neck broke, and you go outside, and next thing you know, they done back to life and sitting down and eating bread and drinking and talking to you again. Boy, that'll wake a service up. Hallelujah, better than caffeine. And so let that be a lesson to you tonight. You fall asleep, hallelujah. I don't have that kind of power, amen? So if you fall out and break your neck, don't look at me. I can't help you. But Paul did, and Paul performed a miracle here. So then it says, goes on down reading the next day, so forth in verse 15. And so here we pick up and reading in verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. Now look in verse 19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Let me stop there and say this. That phrase, serving the Lord, you will find Paul uses that phrase 6 times in his epistles. And Paul was not bragging, but Paul was just simply saying he has served the Lord in season, out of season, when times were good and times were bad, when he was up and when he was down, Paul kept serving the Lord. In fact, he says in verse 19, he said, with many tears and temptations. Paul said, I've gone through it. You name it, I've been there. Paul could say, I've been through shipwreck. I've been naked. I've been destitute. I've been hungry. I've been beaten. Paul went through it all. But now keep reading on. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me. He didn't know, but God knew. Save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. When Paul walked into a town, he didn't ask where the hotel was. He just said, where's the jailhouse? Because he's going to end up there. Isn't it amazing today that we as God's people, we think we ought to have a bed of roses, and yet God has promised us trials and tribulation. He said that this life that we live is not a bed of roses. It is full of heartache and trials. You say, why in the world would you ever want to be a Christian? Because it's the best life you'll ever have. Amen. I don't know how folks make it without the Lord, because you're going to have trials with or without Him. Amen. You're going to have disappointment with or without Him. But thank God, if you got Him, you've got somebody to go with you all the way. And so Paul said here, he said, I have taught you publicly, house to house. And now read on down. He said in verse 24, and here's what I want you to see tonight. But none of these things move me. I shall not be moved. Nor count I my life dear unto myself. Now watch this phrase. So that I might finish my course with joy. I want you to keep that phrase in mind as we preach a little while tonight. He said, I might finish my course with joy. And he says, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. My, can we say that? Can we say tonight that I am free from the blood of all men? Is there anybody that has died or may die and go to hell and we'd have our blood, have their blood on our hands? I hate to tell you tonight, but I know of one. God impressed upon me to witness to, and I did not. And he died a tragic death. And I don't know if he's in heaven or hell, but God impressed upon me to witness to him, and I didn't. Paul said, I am pure from the blood of all men. The people you work beside, the folks you go to school with, the mailman, it's easy to talk about everything under the sun. It's hard sometimes to talk about Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Mailman come up the other day and he struck up conversation with me. He saw I get a couple of fishing magazines and he struck up conversation. You like to saltwater fish? Yes, I do. My, next thing I know, we're building boats together and we're fishing together. And I mean, he's telling me about his tails. I'm telling him about my fish tail. And the mail's still sitting in his car. Amen. See, it's easy to talk about things you love, isn't it? It's easy to talk about those things. And Paul said, I don't have the blood of anybody on my hands. I've testified of the Lord. Now, read on. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to the flock which ye have, the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, and not sparing the flock. Can I stop right there and make a comment? I have learned something in the last few years of my ministry. I wish I had learned a long time ago. And that is this. Is the Bible has much to say about wolves. And a wolf has but one purpose. A wolf is come to seek and to kill the sheep. Amen? Now, folk, I read a little book that has been a real big help to me. And the author of this book, I'm getting a little off subject, but that's okay. He studied, well, he said, God impressed upon me to preach a message. And he said, the more I got to studying, he said, I've God wanted me to put this down in a book. And so he put in a little book, and I've got a copy of it. It's called Wolves in Your Church. Now, listen to me just a second. We're going to get back to what I'm going to preach on. I'm not going to keep you long. But one of the things he said in that little book was this, and he studied the life of real wolves. Do you realize that there is what they call an alpha wolf? An alpha wolf is the leader of the pack. And that alpha wolf, guess what? Will lead the rest of those wolves to devour. And I hate to say this, but it's true. It's true in real life. But he said that oftentimes that alpha wolf is a female. Now, what am I saying is this, is that sometimes wolves will come in to kill the sheep. And Fred, we have to be aware. If there is a wolf is not a sheep and will never be a sheep. Can I have an amen right there? Come on now. I'm not picking on ladies tonight. He just said that sometimes that the alpha wolf is a female, but is a, runs along with a male. And here's the thing. A wolf, you'll find, is come to seek out and destroy the sheep. Y'all didn't know this, and I'll just pass it on to you. But Brother Robert Fraley, he was with us in camp meeting. He preached that night and came to me and he said, Brother Frank, I've got to leave. I've got to go back. I said, Brother Robert, he said, I want to stay. My kids want to stay. He said, but I've got a situation. He said, I'm afraid that if I don't go back, he said, I've got somebody in my church that's already trying to undermine me. And he said, they're trying to destroy. And he said, that's just going to be an opportunity. So the other day he called. He said, just called to thank me for the camp meeting. I said, how'd that situation turn out? He said, well, he said he got his walking papers and he's gone down the road. Friend, can I tell you something? A wolf is seeks out to destroy the sheep. Can y'all, if y'all been around any length of time, you can say amen to that. Amen. There are some wolves, all they want to do is destroy and tear up and wreak havoc. And one thing I read in that little book made more sense than anything. You can't pastor a wolf. You can pasture sheep. A sheep will follow the shepherd, but a wolf won't. Amen. And so anyhow, we're getting off on that. But he warns this church here. These are the elders of the church. And Paul is saying to the elders, he said, watch out. He said in verse 29, there'll be grievous wolves that'll try to slip in and they'll try to destroy the sheep. They'll try to lead them astray. They'll get in there and they'll try to wreak havoc in your church. And you got to watch that. Amen. Praise God. Yes, sir. By the way, I learned a lot of good stuff from that little book. You know what they said? That the shepherd, which is, guess who? You know what his best asset is? Bet you'll never guess. It's a good sheepdog. Amen. And he said, preachers, have you some good men? Amen. I like that. He said, because when them wolves start coming in, them sheepdogs will take care of them. I said, glory to God. I like that. Amen. I got five good ones. Amen. Amen. I got some other, but I'm talking about our deacons. Praise the Lord. All right, let's move on. Anyway, getting off the subject. And so he said, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn every one of you every night and day with tears. Old Paul had some tears. Thank God for that. And he goes on to say, and let's read on down to the end of the chapter. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. Now watch verse 37. Oh, can you see this picture? I can. And they all wept sore. And they fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him into the ship. Here's Paul's final farewell to these Ephesians. These Ephesian Christians that he had been with for 3 years, pastored for 3 years, and now it's come time for him to leave. And he says, folks, I leave, but I do so. I leave part of my heart with you. And they cried and they wept. But now, here's what I want you to see tonight. Look in verse 24, just briefly tonight. What things here tonight, Paul would say, none of these things move me. In verse number 24, this is, let me read you in the Greek what I studied, and it says, but I make not one account of such does not move me away from my call and labors, not even one bit, do not control the rudder or course of my life. When I read that, and in verse 24, I read the Greek out of that, and it said, none of these things move me. Here's what Paul is saying to them. He said, all the things that's happened to me, I don't let a single one of those things that have happened to me change my course or my direction. If you're familiar with a boat, the smallest part, they say, of a boat, or a very small part, is the rudder. How many of you know what the rudder does? Rudder on a boat does? Raise your hand. What does a rudder do? Come on, tell me. It controls the what? Direction of the boat. If you're looking at a sailboat, great huge mast and a great keel. That keel goes way in deep in the water. That keel keeps that boat from capsizing when the winds blow it. But way back at the stern, way back at the very back of the boat, not the wheel, not that big old wheel, but a rudder, a piece of wood that goes down in the water, not very large, but he says that controls the direction in which I'm a-going. And listen to me, Paul said this in verse 24, the things that have happened unto me, they do not change the direction in which I'm headed. And Fred, I want to speak to you tonight just a little while on that subject. I shall not be moved. First of all, tonight, there are about four things I want to share with you in the time we've got together. Notice some things that ought not to move us. These things are going to come, but they should not deter us. They should not sidetrack us. They should not get us off course. The first thing, the storms of life should not move us. The disciples are a good example. While you have your Bibles, turn back with me, please, to the Gospel of Mark for just a minute. And I want to show you in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 4, how these disciples reacted when they got in a storm. In Mark chapter 4, in verse 35, I'll not read all of it. You can do that when you get home. But in Mark 4:35, the disciples got in a boat. And Jesus said in verse 35, let us pass over to the other side. Now, friend, if the Lord has said to us, let us pass over, don't you think we're going to get over to the other side? Amen. If the Lord has promised it, then it's going to come to pass. The Bible said, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us, God has promised us that he will go with us even to the end. So right here he says we're going to pass over to the other side. Now watch what happened. When they got in the boat and a storm came up, they got afraid. The Bible said they woke up the master and they said, Master, carest not that we perish? Oh, I can see the picture as the wind began to blow and as the waves began to beat on the side of that boat. All of a sudden, they ran down in the ship and they shook the Lord and they said, hey, wake up. The boat's going to go down. Watch what Jesus did. He said in verse 40, why are you so fearful? How is you have no faith? These disciples, they had no faith. They were fearful. And the Bible said in verse 41, they feared exceedingly and said one to another, who, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the seas obey his voice? Now compare that to the Apostle Paul over in Acts chapter number 27. And for the sake of time, you don't need to turn there, but in Acts chapter 27, Paul was in a storm. You remember the Bible said they started sailing and the seas were calm, the south winds were blowing, but then the great storm called Euroclydon blew up, a hurricane, if you would. I mean, son, a huge storm. And the ship looked like it was going to go down. Even the sailors were afraid. But not Paul. Why? Because Paul came up from below deck and he said, sirs, I've heard from heaven. All's going to be well. Be of good cheer. I have heard from the Lord. And friend, when the storms come in your life, whether they be a storm of financial failure, whether it be a storm of health issues, whether it be a storm of family problems, rest assured, God will bring us over through the storm. It's not always His will to go around the storm. It's His will for us to go through the storm and trust Him to bring us to the other side. What kind of storm are you in tonight? You're either in a storm, you're coming out, or you're getting ready to go into one. One of the three. Everybody in this room, storms come. Storms are a part of our life, but they should not deter us. Paul could say, I shall not be moved even if all the storms come, even if the ship goes under, even if it looks like I'm going to sink and drown, I shall not be moved. Thank God for that. It's easy to say we believe God when things are well. Oh, I've been there. When all the bills are paid and the kids are well and you don't have any doctor bills and you don't have any needs and you don't have to worry about next week and the paycheck. And it's easy to say, I trust the Lord. But it's hard. It's hard. When the storms begun to come, and you don't know where the next dollar, and friend, I'm not telling you something that I have not been in. I'm not telling you something that I have not been there. I'm not telling you something of just a theory. I'm telling you of reality. I have been there, and I can testify that the Lord will bring you through the storm safe to the other side. And when you get to the other side, you can testify that the Lord God Almighty brought me safe this far. He'll do it. Paul said, I'll not be moved by the storm. Number two, the course of this world ought not to move us. I know, I've heard, and people have said it. I hear it all the time. Preacher, you know, it looks like churches are attendance-wise are falling off. And I want to be optimistic, but I'll have to be truthful with you. And the truth is, you're absolutely correct. The church I preached in last week, at one time, Brother Scott, they were running around 250 people. And today, they're probably lucky to have maybe 35, 40, maybe, if they had that many. It's easy sometimes to look around and say, oh, woe is me. As the world get worse, many, many want to quit. You remember what the Lord said in the Gospels? He said this, that when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I believe this, my friend. The sooner we get to the coming of Christ, I'm not trying to be a prophet of doom and despair, but I believe the love of many will wax colder and colder and colder. There's more out yonder that can attract folks' attention than what's going on in here. I hate to say that, but there are folks that will be attracted either to the stores or to the pleasure or whatever else instead of the house of God. And I'm not being critical. I'm just saying it's a fact, is that as we get closer to the coming of Christ, as the Lord is going to descend from heaven, I do not see a huge population of Christians flooding to the house of God. But what I do see is a faithful remnant that still hunger and still thirst after things of God and still say, I'll not be deterred by the course of this world. I'm not going to look around and get discouraged over who is not here. I'm going to be encouraged that if the Lord meets with us and if the Lord shows, I'm going to get something out of it that's going to help me regardless of anybody else. Amen. And Jesus, had he been moved, then of course then we would not have a Savior. I read this morning. Look in John chapter number 6 for a minute. Turn over there just a second. I got it marked in my Bible. John chapter 6. Watch this. Would you hang on with me? Look in John 6. And I guess the Holy Spirit of God, I know he did, he put this here in the exact place for a reason. But in John chapter number 6, and look in verse 66. From that time, many, many, many of his disciples went back. Now, did you catch that? Many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now, what's interesting to me is where it falls. John 6, 66. Put them three together. 6, 6, 6. The mark of man. In John 6, 66, many of his disciples went back. I'm not talking about the lost crowd. I'm talking, he said, his disciples. The ones that had followed him. The ones that had heard his teaching. And friend, if they turn their back on Jesus, don't you think the same thing's going to happen before he comes back? Yes, sir. He looked over at Simon Peter and he said, will you also go away? How about the rest of you? And by the way, you read the Word of God, you'll find that when it came down for his crucifixion, how many of his disciples stood beneath the cross when he was crucified? One. My soul, can you imagine giving 3.5 years of your life teaching every day, people walking and seeing people healed and the dead raised to life and the eyes of the blind opened, and when it came time to die, only one, John, stood beneath the cross. The rest of the crowd forsook him. But he asked Simon Peter, will you also go away? And Peter made a profound statement. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Friend, can I got news for you? I got news. Is that there is nobody else to go to. Brawley told me some news today that Sun Young Moon died. How many of you remember Sun Young Moon? Anybody? Two or three of you? He was a cultist back in the 70s, had a cult movement, had thousands of followers. Well, I guarantee you, when he took his last breath on this side, he got a rude awakening. Who else are you going to go to? Nobody but Jesus. I mentioned out there in the tent the other day, some of you may have heard me, but there's a church, a so-called church in Graham. I didn't know what it was. Brother Doug Neary told me it's a Unitarian church. I passed by there here a while back. It had a sign out there. It said this. I remember the sign. It said, there are many ways to heaven. Ain't but one thing wrong with this, a lie. And then I passed by a couple of weeks ago and had another sign out there. And it said, our founder, so-and-so, and had the dates on there. When they were born in 2012, has gone to a higher place. I thought to my soul, I wouldn't bet on it if I was you. Amen? because there is nobody else that has the words of eternal life. And we should not be deterred. Don't let the storms stop us. Don't let the course of this world stop us. And number three, don't let the failure of other people stop you. Devil says, you'll crawl up on your back. Before you leave out this door tonight, you know what he'll tell you? Why, nobody else is doing anything. Why should you? How many of you ever had the devil to do that to them? I'll lift my hand up. Why, you're the only one. You know what? Old Elijah believed that lie. Elijah said, Lord, I'm the only one left. The Lord said, no, you're not. I got 400, hadn't even bowed a knee yet. Hey, realize this, honey, is that our reward is not down here, and regardless of what anybody else says and does or don't do, is not going to stop us from serving the Lord and plowing ahead and saying, by the grace of God, we may not be 10,000, but by the grace of God, we're on moving forward. Amen. Many have tried and failed before us, but that shouldn't make us quit. There are some folks that started the journey. As a pastor, I've led people to Christ. As a pastor, I'm not going to lie to you, it has bothered me, but it hadn't stopped me, and it's not. I've led people to Christ, and they're like skyrockets. I mean, they'll get on fire, and then they're burn out. They'll start for a while and they'll go strong. Oh boy! And then all of a sudden you can't find them. I've had some since I've been here. Amen. I've had some since I've been here they got saved. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be on fire. And now they don't even go to church. But that's not going to stop me. You see? I'm not going to be... Paul said, when those things come, I shall not be moved. It's not going to deter me. And then notice some things that ought to move us. Some things, first of all, the Word of God ought to move us. It ought to stir our hearts. It ought to break our hearts. When we read in the pages of Scripture and look in verse 26, when Paul said, I am pure from the blood of all men. May I remind you tonight that there is somebody looking at you, somebody that's watching you, somebody that's depending on you. If you don't tell them about Jesus, they will die and go to hell. We ought to be stirred at that. Thank God, Brother Keith back yonder gave that testimony why God left him at work so he could lead one of his co-workers to Christ. Thank God for the people I've been able to win to the Lord and tell about Christ. If I had not, they'd probably be in hell today. I don't put any badges on me, but I want to be able to say I'm pure from the blood of all men. Now I want to close with this. Look in verse number 24. And Paul said this, none of these things move me. And he said that I might finish my course with joy. Would you turn over, please, with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And notice, please, with me, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul here in Acts 20, he's bidding goodbye to the Ephesian Christians. God has a work for him to do. God has a plan for him. And young folks, can I tell you, God has a plan for you. Older people, it don't matter how old you are. Caleb said at age 85, I want that mountain. And God gave it to him. Joshua died at 110. Moses died at 120. Don't let age stop you. But 2 Timothy chapter 4, now Paul is in prison. He's awaiting execution. They're going to cut his head off from his body. And this is what he tells young Timothy. Timothy, a young preacher in the faith. He goes on to tell Timothy there in chapter 4, He said, be instant in season, out of season. Preach the word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. In verse 3, I think we're living here, for the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. My friend and I, it is amazing. We were talking a little bit about this a while ago. It is amazing today that people are just so brainwashed. I mean, they'll flock to cults. They'll flock to preachers that they're not preaching the gospel. And yet, when you have a place like this, you know, that we do preach the gospel, don't we? Amen. And we do stand for the truth and the right. But Paul said, now look, the time will come, Timothy, they'll not endure sound doctrine. They'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They'll be people pleasers, just wanting to hear what will tickle their ears. There are those today that will get on television and say, God didn't call me to be a preacher of the gospel. He called me to be an encourager. God help us. There'll be those today that'll try to make you feel good. Paul said, beware of those, but here's what I want you to see. In verse number 7, I have fought a good fight. You see what he says? I have finished my course. I finished. It's not how you start out, it's how you finish. Back in Acts 20, he says that I might finish my course with joy. In 2 Timothy 4, I have finished my course. My life is now over. Right now, as Paul would write in 2 Timothy 4, he said, it's cold and dark and down in this dungeon. When you come, bring me the books. Bring me the cloak. It's cold down here, but especially the parchments. I want to read the Word of God. And it wouldn't be long after this that when Paul wrote this, he wrote it from the maritime prison in Rome, and he was brought before the emperor and was executed for his faith. But Paul said, I finished. I was not deterred. I was not moved. All the heartache and pain and suffering and trials and shipwreck and nakedness and peril and everything I went through, I counted but joy because I finished my course. God has a course for you and for me. One day when our journey is complete, thank God, He'll call us home. I like what Brother Neil said out yonder in the tent. Some of you that were there that night, most of you were there, he told the story of Brother Mays when they sat down at the Waffle House. And he asked Brother Mays, Pappy, if you had to do over, would you do it again? And he said, Neil, it was worth it all. And they sang that little song. And I don't know, Joanne, if you know it or not, but it goes something like this. It will be worth it all when we say Jesus, life's trials will seem so small when we see Him. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Y'all know that? Sing it with me. You know how to, can you play that? Just sing the chorus. There's a whole verse, but we'll not sing that. Stand with me tonight. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Him. One glimpse glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase.